Where do we get that from? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul says, I want to tell you about the gospel that was first delivered unto you. And it's the gospel that saved you unless your faith was in vain, unless you didn't really believe, you had empty faith. It's the gospel you're saved by. And what is that gospel? That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the... That's the gospel. The good news is that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that sinless Savior came and he died for your sins. And he was buried, and on the third day he rose again. According to the scriptures, he rose again. That's the good news. Now, false teachers are always going to distort that truth. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. What he's saying is, might well bear with him. These guys were getting so tricked and so turned around by false teachers who looked good, sounded good, and had lots of money, so they must have the truth. They were being deceived by them. And Paul's saying, listen, you'd fall anybody, but they're coming in preaching another Jesus and another gospel, and you can't hear that. He hasn't changed. I want to tell you, the old story is still the only story. It hasn't changed. There is no other way. It's not new. I don't know why throughout the ages mankind and people in churches have tried to distort the gospel other than the fact that they're influenced by the devil who wants people to end up in hell. But it doesn't ever change. The gospel's simple. There's simplicity here. We're all sinners. Our sin condemns us to hell, the wrath of God, the lake of fire. But God loves us so much that Christ came and died for us. And he was buried and he rose again the third day. That's it. That's it. Amen. Repent, turn away from your sin and unbelief, put your faith in Jesus. That's the gospel. And it doesn't change. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. And don't you love how the Bible gets it? You know why some people are deceived and believe another gospel? Because they believe that an angel came from heaven and talked to a man in the desert and gave him another book that has another way, that's a different gospel. And it's right here in the Word. It warns them, don't fall for it. The gospel hasn't changed. The gospel was the same. God made a promise all the way back in Genesis, and he gave that promise over and over again through the Old Testament. And Jesus Christ came and he fulfilled that promise, and there's no other way. It's never going to change. No, 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 you got to get baptized. No, you don't. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, you got to give so much money to the church. No, believe. Amen. There's no other way. There's never going to be another way. No, you got to live it this way, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. No, no, believe. Amen. There is no other way. Amen. I hate false gospels. Amen. I hate anything that turns people away from Christ. Amen. I hate religion. I hate the lies. Right. And there are countless souls who have been led away. Right. Amen. God help us. Amen. I'm so thankful the gospel is so simple. Amen. Leave it to stupid humans to make it complicated. The simplicity that's in Christ. Paul was astounded. You understand he's talking to a mixed multitude, but primarily in Galatians, he's talking to a lot of... Some of them were Jews, but a lot of them were pagans. And he said, you guys, you heard the gospel and you rushed to Jesus. Amen. Like you were like, forget all this other stuff. I'm going to come to Jesus. All I have to do is repent and believe. Trust in him. That's it. And then he comes back around to check on them, and they're going back to all of these rules and regulations. They're taking on the yoke and the bondage of the law. And he's like, what are you guys doing? You've been set free. Why would you go back to that? And there are countless churches today putting people back under a yoke. God deliver us. The gospel was, is, and always will be Christ alone. Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, according to the scriptures alone, under the glory of God alone. False teachers are going to add requirements. False teachers are going to remove repentance. They don't want to talk about sin. They won't make anybody feel bad. Brother Sean told me a story one time. I'll probably get in trouble for this later, but that's not the first time. About a friend of his who was a pastor somewhere that said they never talked about sin in church. They didn't want to offend anybody. Can you imagine that? I just say this. I don't think anybody keeps coming to Calvary if they're afraid of being offended. You might only come once. I get that. But listen, we have to call people to repentance. They remove repentance. They want to change, diminish, or redefine the gospel as it's been given plainly in Scripture. God help us. God deliver us. So false teachers are going to mess up the gospel. Number four, false teachers are driven by greed, gain, and self-glory. Look back to 2 Peter chapter 2. Let me give you a few verses there. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. 2 Peter 2, 3. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. False teachers are always going to be out of what they can get out of you. They're greedy. They're about gain. They're going to tell you stuff like this. If you'll just send me your $10, God will give you $100 back. Yeah, you might get a prayer cloth back in the mail. Something they snotted on. Get that back. False teachers are always going to be about it. Now listen, is there a time for me or any other pastor to preach on giving? You better stink and say amen, or it's coming Sunday. Yeah, the Bible talks about giving, doesn't it? Okay, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about giving to the Lord and to the work of the ministry for the glory of God. We're talking about people who are trying to line their own pockets, people who are trying to get rich off of other people. That's what we're talking about. They're going to make merchandise of you. They're going to turn you into something to get money out of. Okay, verse 14. In our text, verse 14, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages I'm in righteousness. Man, he was willing to go say anything for some money. Now, it didn't always work out for him because at some point God used him anyway, but I'm just telling you, he was willing to sell whatever for money. I'll sell my preaching for money. False teachers are driven by greed, gain, and self-glory. Titus chapter 1, verse 10. Titus 1:10 says, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Filthy lucre is a really weird way to say dirty money. Amen. Is the money dirty? No. It's the way they're trying to get it. False teachers turn the gospel into a commercial enterprise. Amen. Boo. The gospel is not a business. Amen. The word of God is not something to be sold. It was given to us freely, and we give it freely. I feel like I have to temper it out. I understand there's things in the Bible. Like I said, there's the Bible teaches about giving. The Bible teaches in the New Testament that a church ought to support their pastor. That's a biblical teaching. You don't muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. There's all those that preach the gospel should live of the gospel. There's all kinds of stuff, but I know we got to be balanced. But I want to tell you right now, in case there's any confusion about this, if you think that I pastor a church for the money, then you don't know me at all. And if you ever think that I'm in it for the money, I hope you'll come and talk to me. Because if I've ever done something, said something, or acted in any way that you think I'm doing this for the money, then I need to be set right, because I don't ever want anybody to think that. Listen, you've seen it though. You've heard it. I think everybody here has seen it on TV. You've heard it somewhere. And you know what I'm talking about. And it's nothing new. God help us. False teachers. False teachers, number five, are marked by moral corruption. They're marked by moral corruption. In our text, in verse 9, it says, "The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lusts of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous they are, self-willed, and they're not afraid to speak evil of dignities." We already read the other verses. It says they have eyes full of adultery and they can't cease from sin. Now, they may hide it well in the pulpit. They may hide it well on the TV screen or on the YouTubes, but they cannot hide it in their real life. Amen. They're marked by sin. Amen. Now, listen, all of us can fall into sin. Okay, let's try that one more time. Everybody in this room, we can all fall into sin. Is that true? Amen. Well, we don't want to be excited about it. We just want to acknowledge the truth. We can all fall into sin. But listen, none of us are completely without sin, but these false teachers were identified by their unrighteousness. Like, it was the mark of who they really were. Any one of us can mess up. We'll stumble, we'll fall. But sin cannot be the defining characteristic of our life. False teachers are marked by moral corruption. We've only got two more. Give me a little grace here and we'll finish them up. Number six, false teachers despise authority and resist accountability. They despise authority and resist accountability. We just read, but chiefly them, in verse 10, them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness, despise government or authorities. Presumptuous they are, self-willed, they're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Jude, verse 8 says, likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Now look at 3 John, verse 9. 3 John 9. And he says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, receives us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither does he himself receive the brethren, and forbids them that they would, and cast them out of the church. So these false teachers, they despise authority, they resist accountability, they don't want to listen to anybody. They only want to have themselves to answer for, or answer to. They reject biblical correction. They reject biblical oversight and accountability. Pride and rebellion define their character. Okay? Now, I won't name any names right now because I can't think of their names, but have you ever seen, there's a few different interviews that are out there of some of those really powerful and really important TV evangelists when a reporter comes up and starts asking them about some stuff? Thanks. And man, when they get questioned about their practices, they ain't gonna hear it. And you can see the rebellion and the attitude in their heart. You can see it. Who do you think you are to ask me? Well, I'm gonna say this. If you got reason to question me about something like that, then here's who I am. I'm the pastor and I have to answer to you. We're part of the same church. It's a two-way street. You answer to me, I answer to you, we answer to each other. Isn't that how it's supposed to work? There's something called accountability. Yeah, something like that. So we all answer to each other, and we all have to be accountable to one another. Because we represent the Lord Jesus Christ and we represent each other. So they don't want that. They don't want any authority in their life. And I would say this, can't most of you understand that? Don't we have something in us? There's a little bit of pride in all of us that says, I don't want to answer to anybody. Yeah, we don't like that. That's our flesh. But you know what my spirit says? My spirit says, I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My spirit says, I'm a servant of everybody else. So I'm happy to answer to everybody else. False teachers aren't like that. They hate authority. They hate authority and they resist accountability. Number 7, we made it all the way to the end. False teachers, this is probably one of the more serious ones, so it's kind of heavy to end on. False teachers have predatory ministries. False teachers have predatory ministries. Verse 14 says, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. So what's that saying? They target unstable, immature, emotionally driven, sin-burdened, and unanchored people. Okay, somebody who's unstable in their heart and their mind, they're going to target them. Somebody who's immature in their faith, they're going to target them because they don't know the truth. Somebody who is emotionally driven, rather than biblically grounded, they're going to target them. Listen, you guys know what I'm talking about. You can get the right setting and the right stage and all the right stuff, and you can get people worked up into an emotional frenzy, and you can get them to do anything. Mob mentality. In churches, so-called. Sin burden. They target somebody who feels guilty over their sin and will manipulate them, using their guilt to manipulate them. People who are unanchored. That goes right along with immature, but it's deeper than that. Somebody who is unanchored to the truth of the Word of God, they will attack them. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Ephesians 4:14 says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And there are false teachers who are just waiting to see somebody who's stumbling so that they can go after them. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. 2 Timothy 3, 6. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away of diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They're going to come to those who are foolish, who are overwhelmed with sin, and they're going to lead them away into even worse sin. So they have a predatory ministry. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, 2 Timothy 4, 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. 1 John 2, 18. Little children, it is the last time. The end times. As you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Let me give you one last verse. We wrap it up. Luke chapter 6 and verse 40. Luke 6, 40. Everybody still with me? The disciple is not above his master. Amen? The disciple is not above his master. Jesus teaches his disciples, I'm going to suffer, you're going to suffer. Okay? The world's going to hate me, it's going to hate you, right? But check this out. But everyone that is perfect, or we might say mature or complete, shall be as his master. Master, rabbi, teacher. But you understand? When you mature, when you come to maturity, you're going to be like the one you're following. So follow Jesus. The last thing in the world I want for anybody in this church is that you follow me and end up like me. I want you to follow Jesus and be like Jesus. But you know what's so sad about false teachers? They multiply just like everything else. False teachers are going to teach people, and you know what's going to happen to those people who continue to follow them? They're going to grow up and be like their teacher. They're going to be like the false teacher, and that's why they've propagated throughout all the life of the church. They've propagated, they've continued. So be like Jesus. Let him be your teacher. Let me give you these last thoughts and we'll wrap it up. Know Jesus. How do we deal with false teachers? The first thing is know Jesus. Biblically and personally, know Jesus. Amen. Know him. Amen. Number two, trust the word of God. Amen. Don't take my word for it. Don't take the word of somebody you see on YouTube every day or in a podcast or whatever on the radio. You believe the Bible. Amen. Trust the word of God. Number three, live by faith. Live by faith. The just shall. Okay, and that's a double meaning, right? Amen. We have life by faith. By faith we were made alive, and then we live by faith. Okay, live by faith. And last, know the truth. Walk in the truth. And when you know the truth and you walk in the truth, then you can see the lies and avoid them. Amen. Right? The prudent man foresees the evil and he hides himself. When you know the truth, you can spot the counterfeits. So know the truth and walk in the truth so that you can see and avoid the lies. Let's stand together. Thank you for your time and attention. I know it went a little long tonight, but I know you guys are super gracious and you're going to be okay. Thank you for being here. Pray for one another. And when you have family and friends who have been deceived, are being deceived, be bold enough to give them the truth. If you love them, give them the truth. If they're believing in another Jesus, then you tell them about the Jesus. Amen? Love them and be willing to fight that good fight of faith with them because we care. And because the one true God, Jesus Christ himself, died for them. So walk in the truth. Thank you for your time. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the time to be here tonight. I pray for our brothers and sisters who are not here. Please heal those that are sick and hurting and just give grace to them all. But Father, I pray that you'll bless your word tonight, that you help us to understand the truth. Help us to know the truth. Teach us and guide us in all truth by your Spirit. And Lord, help us to love you and to know you and to know the truth. Help us to see the lies, to be able to mark and avoid those false teachers. And Lord, help us to hold up the truth in this church for your glory. We pray for the lost. Help us to reach them with the gospel. They'll trust in you. The only gospel, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried and rose again the third day. Help us all to turn away from our sin and trust in you alone. Lord, please be with us through the rest of this week. Help us to walk with you. Keep us safe. And I pray that you'll help us to be faithful in our witness. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before you guys run off, I'm sorry, go ahead. Yes. Yeah.